Morning, Mr. Matunzi.
Morning, morning. It's exactly 9 o'clock. We do have 7 members to start with the meeting. Yeah?
Okay, thank you, Mr. Matunzi. Good morning to you. Good morning, honorable members. Good morning, Deputy Minister, the DG, and the entire team. Morning to the Deputy Commissioner Love and the entire team and the executive, the state law advisor and the parliamentary legal services, and all who are in attendance. We are going to reflect on a process that were ensued last week as a result of the written submissions that were made to the attention of the portfolio committee, and we request members to ground focus on the issues that we raised. We have observed in our interaction that there's no much different views in terms of the issues that are coming out, particularly on the issues that already have been dealt with by the portfolio committee. And we think this meeting will then take us forward to able to invoke the A list for us to able to adopt it in the next meeting. There are a few areas where members had to consult and interact, and also both the Department of Home Affairs and the legal team to look on some of the issues that arose in our last meeting. I'm quite sure that today's meeting will be able to resolve on all the issues so that we allow the team to prepare the A list because of our time to present the report to the National Assembly. As you know that we are running behind time. So we must able also to assist the NSOP to have enough time to interact with this process and interact with stakeholders, political parties, NGOs. So that I think will assist us if the committee is a particular resolve on the issues that arise in our next, on our last meeting. Secondly, I'm aware that most of us will be dealt with by the load shedding. And I think we may need to work so that we're able to at least allocate a time that day.
Sorry, Chairperson. Is it me or is it the chairperson who's having difficulty connecting?
No, I think it was the chairperson.
Is it, I think it's the chair.
It's the chairperson.
Okay, yes, it seems like we've lost him, Eddie.
Yeah, we lost him. Let me, but they'll rejoin them. Yeah, I think we lost him. Maybe he should just switch off the video.
Mr. Matunzi?
Yes, sir. Okay, yeah, you now.
Yeah, no, no. This thing is now. You can share the agenda and run apologies. Run with apologies. Thank you.
Oh, okay, Chairperson. This is the agenda. The first one on number three, that's where the content advisor will go through what we did last week, what the committee deliberated, and then from there, there will be deliberations on the bill. And then from on the apologies from my side, the only apologies from the minister, then there are no apologies from members. Thanks, Chair.
Okay. Deputy Minister? Is there an apology?
No, thank you very much, Chair. The apology that we have is that of the minister. I am here with the DG Probably he can also indicate to other the team that is from Home Affairs, but the only apology we had was that of the minister. Thank you.
Okay, DG, if those in the legal service, they are in this meeting.
Morning, Chair, morning, Deputy Minister, honorable members. The team with us from Home Affairs consists of the following. It's Advocate Michelle Dibier, Chairperson. You will recall that he's been working with Senior Counsel Butlander on the bill, so he's joined us. And then, of course, from the ministry, it's two colleagues, Mudupi Maisela Kamduli, Chief of Staff, and then there's also Madiet Makua and Riaz Musa, who's worked on the process regarding the bill as well. That's it from our side.
Okay, thank you, Deputy Commissioner Love.
Thanks very much, Chairperson. Good morning to you, the Minister, and honourable members and the rest who are in the meeting. I'm accompanied by two commissioners, Commissioner Moepia and Commissioner Masuku, and the team from the administration is led by the Deputy CEO, Mr. Shiburi. We have apologies from the CEO, but thanks. I'll be handing back to you.
Chairperson. Right, Chairperson.
Eddie, it would seem that we lost him again.
Yeah. Mem Dise, are you in the meeting?
I'm here, Mr. Matosu.
Yeah, instead of maybe losing time, if maybe when the chairperson is cut off and then you can take over, there was an introduction by the IEC that it was done. So I think now we're moving over to either the legal service for their introduction, and then from there we move over to the briefing by the content advisor, recap by the content advisor.
Thank you, also Chairperson, just to acting chair, just to add, I believe on the agenda it was myself first. Eddie, just correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, you are the first. I was just saying, no, if we need to do introduction from the Legal Service of Parliament and the State Law Advisor, if we can complete that and then we'll move over to you. Through you, Chairperson, Ms. Memudise.
Yeah, Chair, I can introduce Parliamentary Legal Service and State Law Advisor. Sorry, my network is bad where I am.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I'm Siviwe Njikela from the Legal Services of Parliament. I'm with the team, as you will know, Daksha Carson and Telana Haley. That is the team from the Parliament's Legal Services.
Hello, Chair.
Thank you.
Okay.
Yes, thank you. State Law Advisor.
Morning, Chairperson. It's Ms. Sarah Govender from the Office of the Chief State Law Advisor. With me this morning is Ms. Surya Williams. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Mr. Adams, Salman, you can proceed.
Good morning, Chairperson. Thank you very much. I'm just going to show my face, but in the interest of bandwidth, I'm also just going to put the video off. The document I'm presenting was sent late last night. We were still waiting for a final input from the DHA on the first issue we'll raise here. So apologies for that late sending. but it's essentially a summary of all the issues we've already dealt with thus far. Eddie, can I confirm that the document is visible?
Yes, I can see it. If you can make it a little bit bigger.
Thank you. Okay, so just to go through the document clause by clause, the first issue was the issue of a person as a natural person versus citizen. And the two main inputs there from the Chief State Law Advisor and the DHA were that, firstly, that the person, you cannot define person to mean citizen, as the term person used in the Act is not restricted to only citizens. It's used in the Act to mean even a person who's not a citizen, for example, relating to offences. However, the DHA in their input last night indicated that in terms of their legal advice, that the exclusive right of citizens to contest seats should be made explicit in the statute, even though it's fine as it stands in terms of the constitution referring to citizens and as only citizens allowing to run for elections. Making it more specific in the Act would avoid confusion. And this could be done by simply amending the definition of candidate in clause one to provide that a candidate means a person who is a citizen contesting an election, or person who is a citizen nominated on a list of a political party contesting an election as the context requires. It could also be achieved by specifying that in section 31A, that a person may only be nominated to contest an election as an independent candidate if he or she is registered to vote, as only citizens are entitled to register to vote in terms of section 6 of the Electoral Act. So then the decision for the members then, which we have there in the final column there, is do we either retain the definition as natural person, or do we refer to citizen as recommended by the DHA? Then moving on to the PLC, the request from various NGOs was that the definition be changed to partisan liaison committee or non-partisan liaison committee to account for people who don't want to be aligned with political parties or even the word political. However, the response then from the CLSOs is that the PLC replaces the term party liaison committee so that it's more reflective of independent candidates, and also that the acronym can be retained for its manuals. So essentially there, the members need to either retain political liaison committee or consider the submission there of a partisan liaison committee or non-partisan liaison committee, which is one of the submissions. And then Chairperson, if I can just should I go through the entire presentation and then go back to decisions by members, or should we decide clause by clause from the members, because they're to avoid confusion?
Well, Mr. Salmon, because you have started and you are requesting intervention in the middle of your presentation, we thought you will, because most of the issues you have presented them in our last committee meeting, we thought you'll do a recap of the issues that arise from the committee meeting last week on the same issues that you are raising here. That was my recording of the decision of our last committee meeting. I'm not sure whether I'm promoting your presentation, but I think that you have sufficiently dealt with the presentation in our next meeting.
Okay, thank you, Chairperson. I'll take your guidance and proceed. I see there's a hand from Honorable Pile.
Honorable Pile?
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Chair, yeah, I was just going to reiterate that we recap and we focus on areas where the committee needs to decide on, because having to go through all the submissions again is just going to be cumbersome. We've done it already. Thank you.
Yeah, Adams, as I said, that you have sufficiently presented in our last committee meeting. The submissions, the views which are expressed by all and participants, the IEC responded, Parliamentary Legal Service and Home Affairs. So, and members made deliberated on some of the issues. So we thought you'll deal with the recap, and then we're then dealing with the resolve on what must happen.
Okay, thank you, Chairperson. I'll proceed. So the next issue through you, Chairperson, is the issue of independent candidates contesting more than one region. And the response from the Chief State Law Advisor was that the independent candidates versus political parties differentiation must bear a rational connection to legitimate government purpose. And then I see that the provisions allowing independent candidates to contest elections in the National Assembly and the provincial legislature could disenfranchise voters and create disproportionality. Them referencing the contribution of the submissions there. And their response is that the argument is mathematically correct that an independent candidate can forfeit a seat in the provincial legislature in favor of a seat in the National Assembly. The former is reallocated as described in the bill and may benefit parties with larger electoral support. But however, this does not fundamentally violate the principle of proportionality and also applies in extreme cases. And the DHA indicate that consideration should be given to stating that the candidate would be awarded the seat in the region where they receive the highest proportion of votes, rather than the greatest number of votes per se. The rule that awards the seats with a greater proportion of votes better gives effect to the voice of the voters. So then the decision is to either we keep multiple regions or remove the division between regional and compensatory seats for independent candidates. Is the one suggestion. Insert reference to non-partisan candidate administrative support. This was another support from input from another NGO. And also then a suggestion that we revert to multiple regions, the multiple regions to districts rather than provincial regions. However, this is not directly related to the input. It was just a suggestion. By an NGO, and that the debate has already kind of been decided. However, then the DHA input rather is then should we rather decide as highest proportion of votes rather than the greatest number of votes per se. Then moving on to the next clause, which also is clause 4, and allowing a party to substitute a candidate and to reorder the names on the list. Okay, there was one suggestion there that should all the existing provisions applicable to the partisan citizens parties through their associations be extended to the non-partisan associations without alteration. This is particularly the Center for Societal Advancement. They have this thing of referring to non-partisan associations as opposed to independent candidates, to allow for groupings of people supporting an individual, but not necessarily identifying as a party or as a group. Then on the issue of whether the term political party should be included rather than party throughout the bill, the CLSO said that Section 19 of the Constitution uses the term political party. There are other sections in the Constitution which use the term party. And so the term party in the Electoral Act is consistent with the terminology in the responses. So the question there is, do we retain the concept of political parties? Or do we go to party? And is there a need to recognize non-partisan associations? In terms of the term qualifications, I believe this was just a misunderstanding of the heading of qualifications, so I'll browse over that. And this in terms of the submission of names, identity numbers, and signatures. And the input there were largely that the numbers were too high as a threshold for registration. Again, that this should bear rational connection to the legitimate government purpose, which in this case is to ensure that there's a proper intention from the registered parties, and that there's commitment to their process. And that the DHA indicated that it might be impossible for independent candidates to obtain the 30% support, and which could be unjustifiable in terms of Section 19 of the rights of citizens in the Constitution. And that this 30%, that the political parties require less than 10% of the number of signatures. So the suggestions last week were that we move it from 30% down to 20% to give an indication that would be around 8,800 signatures for 20% and around 11,000 signatures for 25%. This in terms of the most recent results. Then moving on to deposits. And whether this should be stated or not. The reason why the amount of the deposit is less for the commission to determine is because this amount can be changed over time, and it is always easier to enforce it to amend the regulations as opposed to having such an amount put in the act. So the question really there is, do we state it or state the amount, or do we allow it to be in regulations? And administratively, there seems to be consensus. There is no decision there. It was already consensus that this be included, that the amount be included in the regulations. Then there were no submissions really there. That was agreed on. And okay, then the next one was the existing voting allocation being retained to include independent candidates. This also relates to the four voters who vote for an independent candidate are not therefore infringed. And so the decision there is, do we either keep it as is, or do we allow the remainders to accrue to non-partisan associations? Or another way of stating that is a running partner. And the IEC responded there that the allocation of regional seats is biased in favor of larger parties and have the unintended consequences of transforming a seat from a smaller to a larger party, this being the submission. And they indicate that although this is mathematically possible, it tends to reward larger parties only in exceptional circumstances. And this doesn't violate the fundamental principle of proportionality. Okay, then on the inclusion of ballot papers, there were concerns around proportionality. And the response was that generally that as long as general proportional representation is retained, it's not in conflict with the Constitution. And it's practically difficult to provide for proportionality with independents, as they can only hold one seat, even though they may receive more votes than a political party. And allowing independent candidates to contest compensatory PLCs would distort the proportional representation requirement, and also run the risk of NACs being unfilled. The issue then responded to by the IEC was that the fact that the province does not have two ballots like the National Assembly should be likened to the regional seat calculations where independent candidates are included and compete on the same basis as the parties, and therefore a split is not indicated. A split would furthermore require some of the geographical determinations inside the provinces, which is not provided for in the bill. In terms of the regional ballots in the PR for the National Assembly violating Section 46 requirement of general proportionation and general proportional representation, and the Section 19 right for fair elections, the IEC's proposal is that a second ballot is required in the National Assembly to meet the constitutional requirement of proportionality. The submission argued that the calculation of PR totals using both regional and PR ballots is incorrect and creates a situation where disproportionality of the regional ballots is transferred over to the overall calculations. The quota is determined by the sum of the valid votes across both ballots. Party votes are also determined from both ballots before being divided by the quota. This is similar to the overall municipal calculations in local government elections and remains proportional in general. So then the suggestion from the submissions was that we count the two ballots separately to improve proportionality, or do we retain the current system where we count them together? And there was also another suggestion that that we move to 66 districts and a four ballot system rather than a three ballot system with the current nine regions as a way of to address the proportionality concerns. And then the final question is, do we include independent candidates in the NCOP seat allocation or not? There was one concern as to why the NCOP seats are not available to independent candidates. And then on the filling of vacancies through recalculation, the response really was by all parties was that essentially by elections are too costly. And that also that the use of running mates could result in voters not getting the candidate replaced as they voted for that particular person. Vacancies filled by using the original seat allocation could theoretically allocate seats to contestants with fewer votes in the elections. And without the recalculation, there could be a shortage of remainders to allocate seats to. And based on these submissions, the IEC proposed to optimize the seat calculation formula. And this refers to item 7.2 and 7.2A and 7.2B, along with others in the Schedule 1A of the bill. And they indicate a drafting proposal to improve the calculation, which is stated verbatim here. I'm not going to go into it, but essentially they were trying to improve the calculation of results to address some of the issues. And essentially the question there is, do we retain the current recalculation? Or do we introduce the running mate system? Or there's also the possibility of only allowing the seats to be filled by independent candidates, but as indicated, that results in some other challenges. Then then in terms of independent candidates contesting more than one region, not being able to aggregate their votes, there's a possibility that this could be interpreted as infringing on Section 19.3 of the Constitution, but there's been extensive advice on the limitation of rights that a provision differentiates between people or categories, in this case, independent candidates and parties, and that it must bear legitimate government purpose. Therefore, the question is the purpose behind preventing any candidates from aggregating their votes justifiable? And why would an independent candidate be allowed to contest more than one region for an NA seat, but only the votes of one region meeting the threshold are taken into account for a seat and not the votes obtained in another region? The IEC indicates that the primary factors determining the proportionality of an electoral system are electoral threshold, district magnitude, and the electoral formula. And of course, all these three factors, the South African electoral system is ranked amongst the most proportional. And so there is relatively few votes actually wasted. And so the question there is, do we retain non-aggregation of votes, or do we aggregate votes for independent candidates? Another suggestion is that we register them in one region and have a 300 or 100 splitting for the regions or compensatory to make it more proportional. Or to remove the NA regional and national compensatory seats division. So all seats are done on an equal basis for parties and independent candidates. That essentially was the responses for that. And then the rest of the submissions are unrelated to the substance of the advertisement. So they're included here, but we needn't debate them. So Chairperson, that's just a recap. Forgive if there's misunderstandings, if I've misstated any of the responses from the stakeholders, I stand to be corrected. But yes, essentially now there's just the issue of deciding on these issues in the final column. I'll stop sharing for now, but I can bring the document back up again. Back to you, Chairperson.
Thanks very much, Mr. Salmon, for your presentation. I want to get in the last meeting, there was an area that the Home Affairs has to deal with the Parliamentary Legal Service, just to get the attitude towards what it was raised before I invite members to interact with that. I'll also request the state law advisor. So I'll start with Mr. Njikela, then invite Deputy Minister, invite State Law Advisor. I will check with the IC if there's a matter that they might have interacted with these three, Parliamentary Legal Service or Home Affairs, and then members will then deliberate on the issues which you have already started to interact in our last committee meeting. Mr. Njikela? Mr. Njikela?
Yes, sorry, Chairperson, I couldn't unmute myself. Thank you very much, Chairperson. I just want to deal with a few issues, including the issue you just mentioned here, because it is relevant to what Mr. Salmon has just presented now. Chairperson, you will recall in last meeting, maybe let me just take a step back. My understanding was that what we will be doing today is to deal with the outstanding issues from last week's meeting. what are the decisions that the committee still needs to make in view of the public submissions from the second round? And that's how we have approached this matter since the meeting of Tuesday last week, that we need to assist the committee to make decisions on the outstanding issues as identified from that meeting. And I got a sense from Mr. Salmon's presentation that we are going a way back than last week's meeting, which is a bit of a worry for me. But be that as it may, Chairperson, last week's meeting, in our presentation, and after consultation and discussion with the IEC, there was a proposal of a change in the definition of a candidate and an independent candidate. And that change was the inclusion of the word natural person. Well, natural actually, because the person was there. And the chairperson and the committee will recall that the minister expressed a concern, and we made a commitment to the committee that we will reach out to the department to understand the nature of the concern. And indeed, chairperson, we did that. We had a discussion with the department, and we understand now the objection better than we did on Tuesday. And I think we have found each other in terms of how we can accommodate the minister's concern in respect of that. And the department can come in. I see that the DM is on the platform. Can in his slot deal with the issue and confirm, if I'm putting it correctly, that natural person needs to be qualified with the phrase, a natural person who is a citizen. Just to clarify that a natural person does not mean any person. A natural person who is a citizen. We have had this debate in the team. One view was that it's unnecessary in view of what Section 19 says and what Section 6 of the Electoral Act says. But for the avoidance of any doubt, we agreed that maybe that phrase should be inserted immediately after the word natural person to clarify that. So I think, Chairperson, in as far as those two definitions are concerned, as proposed in the meeting of Tuesday, that issue between us and the department, the gap has been closed, but the department can confirm in their slot. The implication of this, Chairperson, because I see even the opinion from the department still refers to clause 1.4 of the A list. If the committee accepts the proposals which were presented last Tuesday, it means the definition of a person in the A list has to be removed, has to be deleted, and replaced with this amended definition of candidate and independent candidate, with that natural person who is a candidate. This is so because in our discussion with IEC, it became clear that the idea was never to define the person, but to clarify that a candidate may only be a person, a natural person. And I will step off, Chairperson, from that and just speak to the other issues I had thought and together with the team, that are the issues that you needed to make decisions on for us to be able to move on with the A list. It was the issue of the party liaison committee. the issue was deliberated on by the committee quite extensively. And with the input from the IEC, we understood the committee to have agreed to keep the PLC so as not to create a burden for the IEC having to go and amend their own SOPs and regulations. But it has come up again in the submissions. And in the deliberations of last week, Tuesday, there were suggestions that it may be acceptable to throw away political liaison and just remain with liaison committee. We need a firm decision on that. There was again, Chairperson, which I think Mr. Salmon touched on, the issue of the threshold for the independent candidates. Initially, the committee had made a decision to set it at 30%. There has been a concern expressed that that is too high. And in the deliberations of last week, Tuesday, there was suggestion that the committee should possibly consider lowering it to 25, to 20, or even lower. We think we need a decision on that because it will have an impact on the current bill. Then, Chairperson, there was the issue of aggregation. Again, the committee had already made a decision on this issue that there will be no aggregation. But the issue has come up again on the second round, and which necessitates that the committee, having considered what has been submitted again, it makes a decision on the issue of aggregation of votes in view of the decision that independent candidates can participate in multiple countries. But lastly, Chairperson, and a very important intervention has been made by the IEC last week, and they made some drafting proposals, which in our view do not in any way significantly change the bill, but merely clarifies certain concerns that may have arisen. So there are those proposals which we would like the IEC to put to the committee for the committee to make a decision. And Chairperson, those are the issues just on one's mind now that are critical for us to be able to finalize the A list if we intend to do so soon. Chairperson, through you, if my colleagues have anything to add on that, I will ask you, Chairperson, to allow them some space to just fill up any gaps I may have left. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, you can invite them, Mr. Njikela. Thank you.
Daksha.
Good morning, Chairperson and honorable members. I'm covered by Mr. Njikela. Thank you.
Similarly, okay. Chair, I'm also covered by Mr. Njikela.
Okay, thank you. Let me invite the State Law Advisor before I invite the Minister, sorry, the DM.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, we are in agreement with the matters as summarized by Mr. Njikela regarding the matters that are outstanding and require decisions. With regard to the signature requirements, we are also in agreement that there seems to be a disproportion with regard to the number of signatures that independents would require. But obviously that would be left to the committee to decide and then give us a direction as to how we should incorporate that into the A list. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, thank you. Deputy Minister, there was a matter between yourselves and the Parliamentary Legal Service.
No, thank you very much, Chairperson, and greetings to all members of the committee and all the participants in the platform. We had raised an issue in the last meeting, as Advocate Njikela has indicated. And then subsequently, we then sought legal advice on that particular issue. We have since had a deliberation with the office of Mr. Njikela. If maybe I can just start by summarizing what we got from the legal opinion and what were our concerns were. It was around the issue of the person referring to a natural person in the bill in terms of the A-list. Our view was that that is too broad, and it will allow problems in the future where people who are non-citizens will try and use this loophole in order for them to say they qualify to contest elections. We also had to look at the issue of the Constitution and how it views the issue of a natural person or a person. And the Constitution in this regard, it is very clear that it is referring to every citizen as a person who has the right to stand for public office or to be elected to hold office. And as such, we then had that deliberation with Mr. Njikela, and then we subsequently were able to find each other that we need to stick to the issue of making sure that it becomes clear that we are referring to a citizen rather than just a person or a natural person who can stand for public office or hold or can be elected to hold the office. Those were our concerns, and subsequently we have been able to find each other in that regard. We hope that the committee will then consider that when they finalize the last A list. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Okay, thank you very much, Deputy Minister. I will call the IEC later. Once members have deliberated on the issues, if there's a matter that they want to raise. Thanks, Deputy Minister and the colleagues. And I think I must say that in our opening, we did indicate that in our last committee meeting, we deliberated on the issues and they will identify areas where we must come back and resolve on. And I'm sure that question went through to Mr. Salmon on how we must present the recap issues that members have dealt with in our last committee meeting. And I think Mr. Njikela, your intervention assisted, because it's what I had wanted to venture into once I got a sense of the deliberation that went through between yourselves and the Home Affairs in terms of the issues that we need to focus on to allow the A-list to be finalized. And I'm sure on some of the issues that were raised here by the presentation with the Salmon, the committee has already dealt with them. We've really packed to, that's why we've issued a written submission on particular issues that we must pay attention to. And some of the issues are recurring where they were submitted both in oral or in public, and deliberation as well as ensued, and we would then we dealt with those with these issues. I can take matter in case of the demarcating of districts or venturing into the constituency-based electoral system. And I'm sure the committee has already resolved on that particular area. And some of the issues which are raised are related to how we can constitute in implementing the constituency electoral system. So we need to move within that frame on how, on some of the issues that we've dealt with. I want to invite members to contribute. It will assist if we then move to taking decision on the issues that we're presenting, so that we were able to be closer to the issues of the A-list. I'm fully aware that Honorable Bongo Thomas has been in the meeting, and I'm sure that because of the status in his political party, where will be informed by their party in terms of his participation in the meeting. But it's important to note that is attending the portfolio committee meeting. I'll invite Honorable Pile, Honorable Molekwa, Honorable Lizelle, Honorable Tito, Honorable Ruos, Honorable Kanyile, Honorable Mukhale, Honorable Khwase, and Honorable Mutise. In that order.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and thank you for all the clarifications. Chair, I'm not going to waste any time. I'm going to take you through our support and views in respect of the items. I'm going to start with definitions and terminology. Chairperson, in respect of the citizens and natural person, we support the view of using the word citizen. I actually don't see a reason for us to even add natural person after that. I think citizen sufficiently covers, or we should include registered to vote. You know, the basis here is that you should be a registered voter in order to participate. And how does one define how you become registered or allowed to register to vote? And I think it simply says citizen. So the word citizen, I think, is correct. In respect of political liaison committee, Chair, the proposal of liaison committee, I think, is simple, easy to understand, and I think it covers all participants, and that having to look at partisan, non-participant, I think, is going to become too problematic, and it's going to be too long in terms of terminology. So liaison committee, Chairperson, would suffice, and I think that's what we strongly support. Chair, in respect of, we have previously agreed and supported that in respect of the political party, there was a terminology around political party that you remove the word political and you use only party. And I think that was even in line with the constitution. And then in terms of liaison committee, so I've dealt with that, thank you. Seat allocation. I think this is important because there was a proposal that was saying that the seats should be allocated to where an IC receives the highest proportion, Chairperson, and not the highest number of votes. And I think it was clearly outlined and explained why this proposal was made, in particular reference to provinces where you have higher number of votes or population, for example, Gauteng and KZN. So it may be disproportional if you say highest number of votes received, but we support that it should actually be the highest proportion of votes. We also support that we remain with the three ballots, and I think it's been explained clearly why, and it actually is fair to the process. Then in respect of requirements, Chairperson, I think we have deliberated, and even as the ANC, we were of a strong view that 30% would have sufficed, and there was support as well. However, we have looked at this, and in light of the submissions made, discussions ensued, and also to be able to make it, I think, a fair process and not to exclude anyone, we are happy to support 20% of the signatures, Chair. However, this should not be reduced any further. 20% is what we should agree on in terms of signatures that are required. In respect of deposits, we further agree and support that the principle of deposits remains in the bill. However, the determination of what the deposit is will be done by the IEC. And I think we've explained this time and time again. It may change in respect of the climate and also the economy. So it might have to change. Chairperson, I'm going to go to filling of vacancies. We retain that the filling of vacancies as reflected in the Electoral Amendment Bill, where a next political party or independent is allocated the seat. But I want to point out one very important point. I think it has been raised. In terms of item 23, there is already that clause by the IEC that says, should any party or independent candidate stand to lose a seat during the recalculation in item 22, the party or independent will retain the seat. So this chairperson sufficiently covers the concerns that were raised in terms of recalculation and any one political party or independent losing a seat. And I think we've covered that. They will not lose a seat. And I don't think there's a need for us to even go back to that, because it's already stated and stipulated. Chair, in respect of aggregation of votes, I want to firstly point out that we have deliberated much on this, and it has been clearly outlined that compensatory seats are only in respect of political parties. Now, Chair, this is not something new, because in the current local government elections, this is how local government elections are run, where independent candidates only contest a ward and not the PR listing. And so the same applies here in the general elections, where you are contesting a provincial legislature and the province to national, for better terms or easy reference of understanding, which we call or refer to regional, but province to national. Now, the political parties do not aggregate votes in respect of province to national. In fact, when a political party sends a candidate from a region or a province to national, it's sent from a list, and the votes are only for that particular region or province, where the seat allocation is calculated based on the votes received in that particular region or province. Now, if that's how political parties are sent to the NA via regional votes, then it cannot be different for independent candidates. And currently, political parties don't have an aggregation of votes when it comes to the regional seats. So the same has to apply, and the same applies for provincial legislatures. So, Chairperson, I want to say that political parties and independent candidates cannot be treated differently. And I think we've maintained this right from the beginning, that you have to level the playing fields. You cannot aggregate this, and it means that political parties and independent candidates are not treated differently. Thank you, Chair. Those are our submissions.
Thank you, Honorable Pile, for your contributions. Honorable Lemolekwa.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Let me start by acknowledging the report as presented and all amendments that are made in the report for the committee to take note of that. I also want to concur with Honorable Pile on issues he raised, especially on political issues. I think it will be important for the committee to take note of those issues, because they are very important in order for the committee to move forward and also to make sure that we meet the deadline on the issue of the electoral amendment bill. Chair, I also think that it will be also important to take note on issues raised by Mr. Njikelele, for the committee to take note, especially on the emphasis he made on issues that were agreed upon by the committee. So I think if we can make sure that all those matters that are important that have been raised, we take note of that, we'll be able to move forward. Thank you. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Mulegwa. Honorable Lizel, co-chair.
Good morning, Chairperson. Good morning to our Deputy Minister, our DG, the IEC, and our colleagues, our legal advisors. Thank you very much, Chairperson. I will also be brief. I'm sorry that I didn't attend last week's meeting. I was traveling to Ulundi. Firstly, I think I was covered, or I listened carefully to the explanation that the Deputy Minister provided. Yeah. In terms of the loophole with regards to the current wording of natural person. And therefore, I would agree that using the term citizen would be the definition is clear and it's more explicit. And also the Constitution further specifies that it's a citizen who are entitled to be elected to the legislature. So I think the compromise that says a natural person who is a citizen, or just using the reference to a citizen, for me would suffice. So that is the first issue. On the issue of signatures, Chairperson, I think right from the start, when we started deliberating on the issues of signatures, I had submitted to the committee that it is the IFP's view that we should keep the limit at 10% or 15%. I think at that stage, I was very far off from the proposal of the committee of 50%. And even though we had reached compromise on 30%, It remains our view that 10% or 15% would suffice. I don't think the fresh threshold of 30% is a fair amount of signatures for independent candidates to garner. I think, in fact, it will discourage many independent candidates from participating in the elections. I think it's a very high threshold, considering also that there are checks and balances, such as the deposits that they have to pay. So it remains my view that we should bring it down and that it should be closer to 10 or 15%. With regards to the political liaison committee, I think the liaison committee, the wording of liaison committee, is something that we should go with as a committee. I think it's more inclusive. I do agree that deposits should be retained and that it should remain the IEC's prerogative to set those, you know, considering that we have discussed before that it will be set with regards to the prevailing conditions. The filling of vacancies, I do agree that we keep it as is and in that we go with the next independent candidate or party to fill that vacancy. I also think that we have discussed at length the issue of three ballots, and still that still remains our position that we should keep the three ballots. And I will leave it at that. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Co-Chair. Honorable Tito.
Thanks, Chairperson. Greetings to everyone who is there and also my colleagues. Yes, Chair, I'm also in agreement with the Deputy Minister on the issue of clause 1.4 on the issue of the citizen, that we must stay with what is there, because of we don't want to cause any confusion. And then, Chair, on the issue of the signatures, we have we as the EFF, I came to the committee and then we were agreeing on the 50%, but we are still agreeing on the 30%, Chair, though you are talking about the 20%. We are still staying there, that we must remain at the 30%. And then on the issue of the deposit, we are still stating that the deposit must still be the same as the political parties. The independents must still pay the same deposit as the political parties. And then, Chair, on the other issues, I think that we are on agreement, but it's only on those issues of the signatures and also on the issue of the deposit. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Tito, for your contributions. Honorable Ross.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you to all the presenters for the inputs. Chairperson, just to go through all the points again, as I did last week, just for the sake of completeness. I think if we start on the amendment of the definition of person, certainly it makes sense to just say citizen, unless there would be a reason such as later on in the bill or in some other legislation where it says that a person that disturbs an election should be liable to imprisonment, etc. So it doesn't seem to be the case here. This seems to just be talking about the person as a candidate. So then it seems to be reasonable to say that that person or natural person could be referred to as a citizen. Then in terms of the liaison committee and chairperson, we had deliberated this at length before. And I think the reason why we had suggested political liaison committee is because there is a lot of documentation, a training documentation, etc., that would need to be changed if you changed the acronym. So if it now became a liaison committee, all the references to PLC would now have to be LC, and that would need to be changed. And that's where the committee said, well, let's leave it as a political liaison committee. If you look at the suggestion of partisan, I mean, a partisan in any case is someone that that chooses a position or supports a cause. So it means a strong supporter of a party, a cause, or a person. So to say partisan and not partisan should differentiate political parties and independents. It's a little bit incorrect. I mean, you're either partisan, in other words, you support a cause or a person. To say that independents do not support a cause or a person, it's incorrect. So Chairperson, you know, we'd already resolved to call it political liaison committee, and I don't see from the inputs the reason to change that or to now say, let's make it liaison committee. So our view is still that we should just, please, with indulgence, just make it political liaison committee, just so that the acronyms are the same, that we don't have to go and change all that documentation down the line. Then in terms of more than one region, I think the DA's position has been always that, yes, you try and make it that independent candidates can participate, as would a candidate participating as a political party. But in this case, you know, we have always said that an independent should choose a region in that regard. I mean, for example, I'm here as a Gauteng representative in that province. And having been elected, then I live there and I represent my constituency and their issues there. There would be no reason for me to run in the Western Cape and in Gauteng, because if I was elected to the Western Cape, then I could potentially move. But I live in Gauteng. That is where my constituency is. That is where I live. And so our view has always been that one should have, independents should choose a region and they stand in that region and they represent their constituency, because their argument is that we need to have a constituency system and we need to have local representation, we need to have accountability. But then by the same token, the argument is then to say, well, we also need to be able to stand in all the provinces. So it's difficult to marry those two things, Chair. So our view has always been that independents should stand in one region. As Michael Atkins points out, you know, he points out the problem with allowing independents to stand in multiple regions in terms of the calculations and the recalculations, etc. So Chairperson, yeah, the DA does oppose that. Candidates in a party stand, they choose their region and they stand in the region, and so should independents, Chairperson. In terms of using districts and metros as constituencies, this requires a demarcation process. It was indicated about 500 days worth. So we don't have the time for this before the next election. But the DA does still propose the bill have a sunset clause that after the 2024 election, full electoral reform can be considered and take place. Then in terms of whether independents should be prohibited from standing in more than one election, we say no. We say that you should be able to stand on a provincial legislature list or a region to national assembly list, because at the end of the day, you're representing your area in either one of those legislatures. Then in terms of the next point regarding associations, that persons should be able to stand through their associations. The DA says no to associations, and I think we as a committee have agreed to that. If independents want to associate with others, they can form a political party. Then the next term in terms of political party and party, it is a matter of semantics over there. Then in terms of qualifications, the committee agreed to remove the term qualifications, as this may seem to refer to academic qualifications. So I think if we remove it from the heading, that also seems to be fine. It seems to make sense. Then in terms of the signatures, I think, Chairperson, you know, we've said all along, and the IEC made some presentations on what would be reasonable, and the lowest number was 20%. And that is what we still agree to this day. So if Honourable Pele suggests that, then we do support that suggestion, Chairperson. Then in terms of deposits, for sure, we believe the independents should pay a deposit, as there are additional costs for each additional candidate in the election. And this deposit is returned. So if an independent candidate is sure that they have the constituency and they go and stand for an election and they're a serious candidate, they should expect to receive that deposit back when they are elected. Then in terms of the requirement that independent candidate provide a declaration confirming they are resident in the region. Yes. So the DA says that they should stand for election in the province where they are registered, the same way that candidates are affiliated to a party. Then the issue of deposit again, prescribing an exact deposit amount or keep general references and specifying the regulations. Independents should pay a deposit, but it's fine if this is defined in the regulations. I think this committee's already agreed on that. Then in terms of the allowing remainders to accrue, I think we've already agreed, and rightly so, that they shouldn't accrue. Once an independent has a seat, then they shouldn't be able to transfer the remainders to somebody else. And again, if an independent wants to associate with somebody else, they do have the option of forming a political party. I think there is the issue that was raised of a bias towards larger parties. Again, Chair, we've said that we should receive a presentation in this regard. If there is a possibility that there is a large mathematical challenge here. The IEC has assured us that there isn't. There isn't an overwhelming a challenge here in terms of proportionality and this system of recalculation and recalculation heavily favoring bigger political parties. But there is a submission over here. I think it would have been good for this committee to consider that and assure ourselves that there is no large risk with these recalculations that they would heavily favor the largest political party. Then in terms of two ballots or three, Jefferson, the New Nation Movement judgment, it referred to the municipal system as a permissible system under the constitution. So if we look at that system over there, then it seems to be similar to what we are suggesting here, that you have a PR list which involves parties, as is in the municipal system, and then independent candidates stand for election in wards, which in this case, the equivalent would be a region / province. You wouldn't expect in that municipal system for your wards that an independent candidate stands in multiple wards. You wouldn't expect that those get aggregated across the wards to allow that candidate to then get a seat in council. They would have to get enough votes to get the seat in the region or in the ward. And so, Chair, we say that votes should not be aggregated. In simple terms, and in this case, you need three ballots. So you need one for the PR list, you need a region to national, and you need a provincial legislature ballot. In terms of the other input about 66 district-based regions, again, I think we've given this input that there should be a sunset clause to consider full electoral reform after the 2024 elections, when the election timetable allows. Okay. Then in terms of the NCOP input, our understanding is that NCOP delegates are proportionally sent from the regions, and this would include independents. Then in terms of the vacancies, I think, Chairperson, what you have over here is, we've agreed that the next highest independent candidate or party should take the seat of an independent candidate. And Chairperson, there's a comment okay. in these inputs that a vote for an independent candidate is a vote against the political party. And Chairperson, we cannot say that. You cannot for sure say that because somebody voted for an independent, that it was only because they vote against the party. It could be that they like a specific independent and their second vote would have been for the party. So in this case, Chairperson, we believe it's the fairest that either the citizen or the party with the next highest number of votes should get the seat. Chairperson, I think that just about covers it. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Ross, for your contributions. Honorable Lukwase.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and everybody on the platform. Chair, I'm not going to waste time. I would like to agree with most of the issues that have been raised by Honorable Pillay, but also want to request to the committee and want to agree with Honorable Ross on the issue of keeping it as political liaison committee rather than liaison committee, just to avoid confusion. And that will be all, Chair, for me. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Jose, for your contributions. Honorable Kanyile.
Thank you, Chairperson, and greetings to everyone on the platform. Chairperson, I have been largely covered by my colleagues that have spoken before me. However, I think I have a few points that I would like to reiterate on. The first one is the issue of the definition of persons. I'm also in support that it be replaced by citizen. And the issue of signatures, Chairperson, as per the proposal that was today made by Honorable Pillay, we are in support. And with us supporting 20%, it doesn't mean that we want to make it difficult for the independent candidates to form part of the elections. But over and over in this meeting, we have been saying we want them to demonstrate that they have enough support to be able to enter the space, number one. Secondly, we want to avoid a situation where we are having a very long ballot paper to deal with. On the other issues, I guess I have been largely covered by Honorable Rose. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Kanyele, for your contributions. Honorable Mohale.
No, thank you very much, Chairperson. I think I was covered by my colleague, Honorable Dito.
Thank you, Honorable Mohale, for your contributions. Honorable Modise.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Let me firstly appreciate the clarities that were provided by the Deputy Minister and Mr. Njikela. Chair, I think lastly, I'm also covered on issues by Honorable Pillay. And I want to express that I think as a committee, we have a consensus. One, when listens to the members' inputs, you can get that we are in agreement almost in all the issues. We may not agree on word per word or term per term, but in essence, we have a consensus on the issues. There's one issue, though, that I would also want to express on. It's the issue on the party liaison committee. I think once we remove the party, we would really have a challenge in the documents that are already there, as Honorable Rose has expressed. So also want to emphasize that rather we keep it at a party liaison committee than to give it a wedding of a liaison committee alone. I think it really would give us a lot of challenges. But Chair, what I want to say is that as a committee, we have reached a consensus, and I think we are in a position where we are ready to move forward into finalizing the A list and subsequently having to report, give a comprehensive report into Parliament to look at and to support. Chair, I want to only express that to say I think as a committee we have done an extensive work. One must say that it has been a long journey. We have provided enough time for citizens or the public to engage on this process. I think we have really given it sufficient time, even on the deliberations. We have done well so far, and I just want to say, I think now we are in a position where we must just move forward, being mindful of the time, and not to say that we are rushing into completing this. I think we have given enough space on the resolves that as a committee we have taken, and we allowed all political parties to have inputs. And I think all of us, we are satisfied with the process thus far. Thank you very much, Chair.
No, thanks very much, members, for your contributions on this matter. There are four issues which we are, which were before the committee that an understanding of resolve have been carried. On the point of the definition, that is our collective decisions that we were taking. The matter on the political liaison committee, there's a view that we must keep it as it is. We must thirdly, there's a threshold that has been in discussions, and I can see there are views which have been expressed, 30% retaining, and 20% and 10%, which are being presented and informed by the 2 months ago presentation that was presented by Advocate De Beer in terms of the limitations on the participation of the independent on carrying the requirements. And that was strongly argued by the Home Affairs in terms of the threshold that must be carried. And I think this presentation again recur that there must be a reasonable percentage for threshold. And there's a proposal that has been carried of the, which may be reasonable in terms of the views that has been raised, but also the presentation that has informed the resolve on the percentage that we may need to consider to carry the 20% percentage that is reasonable. And we're not taking away of the different views expressed on the threshold, that of the 30% raised by honorable members and also of the 10% raised by the honorable member. So the proposal that we may need to consider is the 20% threshold. This clear indication that we affirm on the no aggregating of votes in terms of the participation of independents, and that we have been we're going to carry it as such. The feeling for vacancy, there's been expressed and there's consensus on that must retain as it was outlined. The ballot papers may retain as has been proposed in deliberation over the interaction, including the deposits as agreed by the committee that the IC may need to deal with in terms at the level of the regulation. So these are the key areas where the committee was deliberated, and that carries our decision of the committee moving forward. The issue that Honorable Ross has been raising, and it has been raised over time of the IEC to come back and refresh in terms of the calculations. But I think that is a matter that the IEC has also committed to bring it for a refresh. We'll deal with that matter now that we have an understanding of the process we're going to engage on as we prepare the A list. And in terms of the issues that members have been having differed in the expression of the views in the committee, and I think that is a demonstration to enhance our work in terms of this particular subject matter that we've been dealing with. Complex as it is, we've managed to interact and navigate it around, and the submissions of the public to our attention for members to have able to carry some of the issues that are raised, but also to look on the loss of the implications of the constitution in terms of the issues that are arising to the committee. What comforts us is that almost all the issues we've taken decisions on before we went out for written submissions, and that would just reaffirming some of the issues that were dealt with. So that will account to our decision on the issues that I've outlined. The last matter, I think, which I think it will come again, the issue of the referendum or sunset clause, which I think has been raised, which I think we must be affirmed to it. that matter is not being resolved in the committee. I think there must be a clarity. It's an issue that is being raised by the members, by Honorable Ross. And it will, at the time that the parties deliberate on that matter, if it arises by Parliament to raise that matter, we'll deliberate on that. And we know that there are views that have been expressed by all and sundry on the constituency electoral system, which was an argument on some of the NGOs or individual citizens or political parties. But I think the committee agrees that we have not agreed on that route, and we're taking the route that we've been dealing with and resolved on in this meeting. Will that be sufficient for us to move to the A list, Mr. Njikela?
Chair, there is one outstanding issue of the drafting proposal that were made by the IEC.
Can you increase your volume? Because you're not audible.
No, Chair, I was just saying there is still the issue of the drafting proposals that were made by the IEC on Tuesday. I believe we still need a decision on that.
Okay.
You had indicated earlier on that you will allow the IEC at some point.
Yes. No, but I'm saying in the prelim, is this can take us to the A list on the result of the committee on the issues that members have resolved on? Can you hear you, Mr. Njikela?
I think, Chair, we are covered largely on the issues that I had raised with the committee this morning.
Okay.
That should be able to facilitate the issue of the A list, unless my colleagues feel that I may have missed something. Thank you very much, Chair.
Okay. Deputy Commissioner Love, is there any other matter that I know that you have, the IEC has indicated their standing in terms of the presentation in our last committee meeting? Maybe I can get indication from you and the executives.
Thanks very much, Chairperson. In terms of board issues, I don't think that there are, but when you deem it appropriate in terms of timing to go through possible specific wording to the extent that might be necessary, I'm going to ask Mr. Shibori to take us through. But in terms of broad issues, I don't think we would put any specifics. But maybe, I don't know, is it now that you want to go through any text or formulations, Chair?
If you are not ready to do it now, because we'll be working on the... Hello?
Sorry, Chair, no. It's just if you would like, then I'm going to hand to Mr. Shibori, who can then take us through those. Sorry, Chairperson.
No, we're at the you are, if Mr. Shibori has something to raise to take us through, we can allow him.
CEO?
Thank you, Chairperson, Honorable Deputy Ministers, members of the committee. Chair, from us, there are no new things. The CEO had presented the draft proposed text at last week's meeting. So what we are waiting for is the Commission's approval. And if the Commission approves, we will then, with Mr. Njikela, then incorporate that into the draft A list. But the information was presented already at last week's meeting, and a hard copy and a soft copy were also circulated to that end. Thank you, Chair. The second issue, Chair, relates to the mathematics related to the seat calculation. Is it a proper understanding that Honorable Roos wants us to respond to what was submitted by a member of the public, Mr. Atkins, and that he will not be submitting any mathematical equation that we need to test to the committee. Is that the understanding?
The first, let's deal with the first point that was agreed in our last committee on the drafting notes that you have presented to the committee. I think members had accepted your drafting. The second point that Honorable Rose raised, and I've re-emphasized on that score, that the IEC has on three or two occasions presented what Honorable Rose has raised. And Honorable Rose has then argued differently. And there's nothing new that you ought to present to the committee. What is requesting, and that is in the understanding, that we'll need a refresh on the, or you'll propose that you must bring the refresh on the seat allocation on the areas that you have presented in the last committee, because he holds a different understanding of you. But take account that we've already taken a decision as a committee on that particular matter. That is an understanding that you ought to carry. Mr. Shiburu?
Thank you, Chair. That clarifies the matter for us. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Njikela?
Yes,
sir. Yes. Is that our understanding in terms of the drafting notes IEC and members deliberated in our last meeting?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Thank you. Honorable Ross, I see your hand.
Thank you, Chairperson. If I may just clarify.
Proceed, Honorable Ross.
I think the presentations we received from the IEC is about Droop, you know, the Droop system and all that and how that works. I think the submission here is about how the reallocation of seats changes things in an unfair way. So it was just to say that I hadn't really seen a response to that, to say it doesn't. So somebody submitted, from what I could see, quite a lengthy document explaining what happens, but there was no response. I think in the last meeting, I'd requested that there be a response to that, to say, no, we've considered this and it's not the case, or something. But I haven't seen that response to that document, because it did in detail go through how the submission believed that, you know, it could cause an unfair advantage. So it wasn't about Droop and hair quotas. It was specifically responding to that, so that we can be assured that that public, because it was public input, not my input. I was just asking whether they were going to respond to that at all or not, to assure us that it's not the case.
Okay. No, I think we're at one. Members, I see the end of another Pile, and I'll come back to you on a Deputy Commissioner Laff. Okay, Deputy Commissioner Laff.
Thank you, Chair. I think that the difficulty that we have as the Commission, and I think that that's why Mr. Shiburu was raising it, is because, in fact, we did in the last meeting, and the CEO made a very careful presentation to outline what are the considerations in making the calculation for proportionality. If we understand proportionality as being something that reflects as comprehensively as possible the fact that everybody's votes count equally, there are certain things in coming to a quota that are going to have to be balanced. One is going to be the density of a population in a particular area. The second thing the CEO mentioned was the fact that you're going to have the number of of areas that you begin to have the calculation. So if there are more, then the proportionality would change. If there are less, the proportionality would change. It is in the document. The question really is whether or not we have something more substantive beyond what we have already explained that we are being asked to respond to. If the Honourable Member, Ruiz, or any other Honourable Member would like to have, you know, even further one-on-one discussions to get the clarity, we're very willing to do that. But I think we've responded in writing. We've made it clear that these are, there's no absolute proportionality or perfect proportionality. It is a balancing act. And I think that that's why Mr. Shiburi was saying, is there something else that the honorable members would like us to respond to? Because it is something that keeps on being raised. The member of the public who raised a particular formulation and a particular set of calculations is indeed the submission that the last occasion the CEO was responding to, and we gave a document to that effect. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Deputy Commissioner Love. Honorable.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Chair, I just want to raise that earlier in my submissions, I did mention and touch on this point, you know, directly when I was saying that currently we have taken into consideration those concerns about recalculation. And there is that clause that stipulates that no one is going to lose a seat. But I think that if it is going to make Honorable Rose any more comfortable, we could possibly get a refresher of that on our next meeting before we start with anything else. We can possibly do that. And Chair, I also want to say in respect of the PLC, I'm sorry to take you back, that in light of submissions, you know, in keeping the wording so that we don't have to incur many costs of changing documents, I'm also supporting Honorable Modise in the PLC Political Liaison Committee. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, members, for and the IEC for your response. Mr. Njikela, I think it's clearer now that we must draft the or develop a list to be presented on Friday, and for the committee to consider adopting it. That would be the item that we'll be dealing with on Friday. The issue that is being raised by Honorable Ross and is being carried on behalf of a citizen who has been in the matter has not been exhausted, further clarity that be sought. I will propose and persuade that, as Honorable Pillay proposes, that we will do a refresh on this particular matter on Friday in the morning. And I'm doing that, noting that Deputy Commissioner Love has already sufficiently dealt with that matter. I'm avoiding a situation where we'll subject a consent directly to one-on-one when perhaps society or those that are interested on that subject matter might have not be find an opportunity to get the refresh on the issues. We must confirm that it has sufficiently been done, presented in the committee, and I can recollect that in many occasions when we're dealing with this subject matter. So I think that process will assist us to get that that refresh. When we start with the item and then we move to the A list and we work on it. Honorable Governor.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, at the risk of taking the committee back, and I apologize if it does appear that we are indeed doing that, but for the sake of certainty and for finalizing the A list, Chairperson, can we just get confirmation that
the drafting proposals by the IEC that were presented on the 27th of September. Firstly, can we just get confirmation that that is indeed what's going to be carried over to the A list? And then secondly, with regard to political liaison committee, we did try to follow, and it's our understanding that it is indeed going to remain as political liaison committee as it has been captured in the A list. So just to get confirmation on those two issues, please, Chair. Thank you.
No, thanks. We've said earlier on that those are carried resolution of the committee.
Thank you, Chair.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Honourable Pillay, is your hand a legacy hand or it is anything?
No, it's an old hand, Chair, sorry.
Okay. Members, this then bring us to a process of what we've deliberated, the issues that we carried, and then we'll await for the A list and then that refresh on that matter, Honorable Ross is raising. Is there any other different view to our summary? Okay. Thank you, members, for having considered this matter. Mr. Matonsi, is there any announcement?
The only announcement is that there's a meeting on Friday, as you said, and also after the meeting on Friday, there's that joint oversight that would be going with certain members who have confirmed. That's all, Chair.
Okay. Let me thank you, members, for contributing to this process and for the decision that has been carried as a result of the extended written submissions. We'll then consider the A list on Friday as the team will be preparing it so that we're finalizing on the matter. We'll also request Mr. Matonsi to also to start the process to request for the report to be tabled when we reopen so that to allow the NSOP to start with their own process. Thanks very much. Thanks, IEC, honorable members, state law advisor, the parliamentary legal team, deputy minister and your team. The meeting stand adjourned.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Greetings. Bye.
Thank you.